Turn your Bibles here this morning to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, as we continue in our series through the book of Proverbs. Todd, my message here this morning is taking a look within, taking a look within. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6 says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find." Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, probably the eternal word of God that changes not. Father, I thank you that we are men and women of the book. And Father, as we study your word here this morning, I pray the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, would guide us. Lord, help me be a vessel, honors your Son, Jesus Christ, and brings glory to your name. And Father, I pray for these next few moments that you would speak to each heart through your Spirit. Guide us into all truth, that Lord, we may be men and women of the truth, and that we may abide in the truth. So Lord, help us toward this end. And Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. May we be more like him. In his holy name we pray, amen. Back in October, Andrew Cuomo released a book, America's Crisis, 320 pages long, and he wrote about how well he handled a pandemic in New York State. And he boasted about how he has so effective, and at one time he had stated that his policies had one of the lowest rates of deaths per capita in America's states, and he was just applauding himself for what a great job he did. Has anybody watched the news lately? Some call that book, and I'm quoting, utter hypocrisy, because you know what he did? He skewed the numbers. And they estimate now his numbers are maybe as much as 40 to 50% off on the reported deaths that happened in New York State nursing homes. You know, what would make somebody write a book that would promote themselves and what a good job they were doing, but underneath the surface, it was a totally different story. And what does Proverbs say here in verse 6? Every man, or most men, will what? Proclaim his own what? Goodness. I'm doing a good job. If you want to read a 320-page book that about talking about what a great job he's doing, well, go ahead. But most men will proclaim their own goodness. It's, you know, it's something inside of us that wants people's praise and attention and to draw attention to ourselves. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Not every man, but most men. You know, it's something within the human heart that wants people to admire them. It wants people to look up to them. But for a Christian, do we want people really looking at us and what we've done? Do we want, as Christians, to go about promoting our own goodness? Who should we ultimately, as believers, be promoting? Not us, but God. That's what we want. I've shared this before. It just made an impression upon me. I remember I was watching a pastor one time get us very well known. Everybody was clapping for him when he came up. But what he did, he heard the applause, and he looked up, and then he went like this. As they clapped for him, he clapped for God. And so that's what you do. If somebody gives you a praise, you just let it bounce off you and you direct it back to God. Because everything you are and everything you hope to be is a gift from God. If you're gifted in one way or another, praise the Lord. If you have enablements that God's given you, but realize that everything you have is a gift from God. And so when our goodness wants to kind of come to the surface and you want people to clap for you now, everybody appreciates somebody saying, that was a good job. But realize in and through that, we should need to show appreciation. But we shouldn't be one that proclaims everyone his own goodness. Now, how did Jesus feel about the Pharisees that stood on the street corner and prayed out loud in front of everybody? How did he feel about them? Was he very pleased with them, or did he look down on them a little bit? He wasn't real pleased with them because they were just blowing their trumpet before them, so to speak, getting everybody to look at them, how holy they were or how good they were. You know, that's within verse 6 here. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. That's what we find in the human heart. But you know what we got to do sometimes? We got to look inside our own selves. Why do we have to look within? Because we got the new nature and the old nature, and they're what doing with each other? They're colliding. You got your old nature, that's your sinful side, that's the flesh, but you got your new nature that's in Christ. And they're always in conflict with each other. The Apostle Paul, who was caught up to the third heaven, said one time, "The will that I will to do, I do not, and what I don't want to do, what I will not, that what I find I'm doing. That's the will I do." Now, I can relate to what Paul's saying. Can anybody else relate to what Paul's saying? Can you relate to that? Can you relate to that? I can. And I'm so thankful that one day I want to get a new body, and it won't be tainted by sin. It won't be tainted by corruption. That's why when we die, we're planted in the ground like a seed. And out of that death comes the resurrection, a glorious body that's incorruptible. There's no more sin nature. Does anybody look forward to having that new body and that new nature? Do you ever tired of the old nature that's always fighting you? I am. And see, when Proverbs says here, we take that look within, because am I walking in the flesh or am I walking in the spirit? Am I walking in that old nature that's drawing attention to myself? Every man proclaiming his own goodness? Or am I giving the praise back to God? Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But the rest of the verse says, but a faithful man, who can find? Now, I like to contrast a faithful man from the man that's proclaiming his own goodness. Now, a faithful man is just going about his day being, if he's a faithful man, this is very simplistic here, I'm not running too far down. A faithful man is what? Faithful, okay? It's pretty simple. He's faithful. Now, I heard one person say it like this. There's three areas you can be faithful in. You can be faithful to yourself, true to what you believe. As a Christian, you believe the scripture, you're faithful to yourself in obedience. You can be faithful to one another. A husband can be faithful to his wife. A wife can be faithful to a husband. You can be faithful on this level. You can be faithful to God and the things of God. There's three areas you can be faithful in: to yourself, to one another, and to God. Now, a faithful man, he's not busy on the street corner trying to get people to look at him. He's faithful in being faithful to the things that he's supposed to be doing. Do you see the contrast there? He's busy doing what he should be doing, not trying to get people attention to be focused on him. He's being faithful. And when the contrast here is that most men proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? A faithful man is not, his eyes aren't on himself. How can I make myself look good in the eyes of everybody else? His eyes are, how can I be faithful to my wife? How can I be faithful to my husband? How can I be faithful to my God? How can I be faithful to myself and my convictions that I stand for what is true in my own heart that God's put in there? See, when you're busy being faithful, when you're busy doing the things that God's done, there's not much time to be drawing attention to yourself and trying to get the praise of men. You know, God would have us be faithful people in these areas in our lives. When a man and a woman stand at the altar and say to one another in their wedding vows, till death do us part. Is that a statement of being faithful? Is that a statement? It sure is. And that's one man for one woman for one lifetime. That's a marriage. That's how God would have it, to be faithful. Does Satan want to break people from being faithful? He does. And it's a challenge. Now, well, turn to Galatians here for a moment here on this theme of faithfulness here, Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, okay, that must something he's not faithful in. Ye which are spiritual, you're a faithful person, you're faithful spiritually. What's that next word? Restore. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Restore. Now think about this for a minute. A faithful man how can you find a faithful man? A man who's faithful to God is going to be concerned about others in the Christian community that aren't being faithful to the things of God. You're going to be concerned about that because your faithfulness is going to overflow into the lives of others. If you're trying to be faithful to God and honor God, now, the greatest commandment in being faithful to God is what? Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. That's what we're to be faithful to love God with all our heart. And if you're a faithful person to God and the things of God, you're going to be concerned about somebody that's not faithful being overtaken in the fault. So if you are concerned, what do you do about it? Restore such a one in a spirit of what? Meekness or gentleness. Now, the spirit that we approach people in is huge. You want to be faithful and you want others to be faithful. What kind of spirit? It's a spirit of gentleness and meekness. Because it goes on to say there, considering thyself, lest you also be what? Tempted. Now, this person has a fault. They've got some struggles. Now, all I can say is, has God been patient with you in your Christian life? Has God been patient with you? If he's been patient with you and you've got somebody over here that's struggling, that's really getting under your skin, and just worrying you to death, and you're starting to lose your patience with them, you need to remember that God is patient with what? You. In the same way God has forgiven you, you are to forgive others that are less faithful than yourself. But the key idea is restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Now, considering thyself, is that looking within? When you consider yourself, is that looking within your own heart? Yeah, absolutely. We have to look within because if we don't look within, Satan's going to get the advantage sometimes because you can help somebody in the wrong way with the wrong attitude. Somebody can be completely wrong. And if you go up to them and say, why'd you do that? That was dumb. Now, how do you even think that, is that going to be healing words? To go up to somebody and say, that was really dumb, why'd you do that? How well do you think that goes over? Probably not real good. But if you do it in the spirit of meekness and say, you having a rough day here? Yeah, I'm having a rough day. Well, tell me about it. What happened? Oh, this happened at work and, my boss got all mad at me because I didn't do this and on it goes, and you try to help that person through their struggles. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You help one another. You help one another. You want to be faithful. You want to be faithful. Because we all find ourselves sometimes with a fault, whether it's a husband to a wife to a husband, a parent to a child to the parent. It's a world full of faults. It sure is. Now, I want to tell you something about being faithful to God. You ever heard of counterfeit money? Okay, there's counterfeit money. Now, if this person over here has counterfeit money in his pocket, am I going to take my good money and throw it away because he's got counterfeit money? Do you know what I'm saying? You don't throw away the good just because somebody else doesn't do right or think right or act right, doesn't give you an excuse to file a course. And what you want to do is always be faithful in the things of God. Turn back over here to Proverbs here. Proverbs chapter 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Now, in the relating to the things of God, here's some areas you can be faithful in. Hebrews 10:25 says what? forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as we see the day approaching. You know what we're doing right now here this morning? We're assembling ourselves what? Together. Is that God's will? That's God's will. For us to be assembled together as God's people. If you don't assemble together and as God's people, unless you are providentially hindered, in other words, you broke your leg on Saturday night and you couldn't get out of bed on Sunday morning, that's being hindered providentially, okay? Nobody plans to break your leg, that just happens, and you can't get to church. Understand. But if you're healthy and you're able-bodied and you decide just to sleep in, are you being faithful, yes or no? You're not being faithful. You're not a faithful person. When you could come to church and you decide, I want to sleep in, I don't want to get out, you're not being true to God. A faithful man, okay? Church attendance, being faithful to God, just this area. We talked about reading the scriptures. That's one way to be faithful. Your prayer life, be faithful to God in prayer. I have people in this church that tell me they go through the pictorial directory and pray for people in the pictorial directory. I have people that they take the prayer sheet we give them Wednesday night. I got people that I prayed with in this church. They don't even need the prayer sheet. They can run right down and boom, 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 boom. You know why? Because they do it every day and they know the people that have needs. They don't even need to read it. You know what that tells me? They're a praying person. They know how to pray. They're faithful to God in prayer. How about giving of your tithes and offerings? Is that a way to be faithful to God? You know, we prayed for Jay and Kelly. Our church supports them. But if money didn't come in the offering plate, guess what? Jay and Kelly wouldn't get a check from us. And if enough churches did that, guess what? Jay and Kelly wouldn't be on the mission field. And if Jay and Kelly weren't on the mission field, they wouldn't be teaching people the word of the Lord that wouldn't have the word of the Lord. Are you faithful and given to God? A faithful man. How about fellowshipping with one another? Are you faithful in fellowshipping? You know, that's an important part of the Christian life, to fellowship one with another. We all need each other. We're a family. You know, God would have us be faithful people to Him. All right, that's just a few areas. There's all kinds. How about your gifts and abilities? If you have musical talent, can you use that for the glory of God? If you have teaching ability, can you use that for the glory of God? If you have gifts and abilities that are mechanical, guess what? This building here, it's not going to last forever. Guess what? It needs repairs every now and then. It needs to be updated, and it needs whatever. You know, I can go on down through the, but I think you get the idea. If God's given you ability, are you faithful in using that in the body of Christ? Faithful people. How about faithful to one another? Praying and loving and being there for each other. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Those people are busy looking out for their own interests, but a faithful man is looking out for the interests of others. Who can find? Verse 7 says, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. The just man, one who gives his life to Christ, who lives for God, walks in his integrity. Give me a definition of integrity. What's a definition of integrity? Integrity is doing the right thing in the right way, even when no one's looking. You do it because it's the right thing to do. That's integrity. You just do it, and it also carries a component to it. You're doing the right thing even when it's hard to do the right thing. See, when you're a person of integrity, the world might be pushing this way, and you're saying, I can't do that. I knew a man one time, worked for a trucking company. And, they used to do runs across the United States, you know, these long trips. And he used to have, he drove his truck for years with his partner. Then one day, the dispatcher tells him, you got a new driving partner. Oh, okay. Who is it? And it was a woman. And this guy is supposed to go across the states with another woman in his truck with him. And, you know, they got the sleeper cab in the back. They just drive nonstop. And the guy looked at the dispatcher and said, I can't have that woman in the truck with me. I'm a married man. And the dispatcher said, that's the way it is today. Either you get out on the road or you're fired. As a Christian man, what did he do? I think you can tell you where I'm going with this. He walked out of there without a job, but guess what he went home with? A marriage. Do you know what I'm saying? See, a man of integrity is going to do what's right even when it's hard to do, because he would not have honored his wife running across the country with another woman in that truck hour after hour. Integrity will keep you. Now, well, how does this verse go? A just man will walk in his integrity. His children are blessed, what? After him. See, this man went home to a wife and he said, sweetheart, I got something to tell you. I got some bad news. I lost my job today. Now, what would a wife say? Oh my, that's terrible. What happened? And then he tells her, they wanted me to spend my day going across the country with another woman that wasn't you. What do you think that wife did? How do you think she felt that night when she went to bed? She would have felt like, this man loves me, and this man's putting me first. He's walking in his what? His integrity. And if they, I don't know if they had children, ever heard that part, but guess what? A man and a woman love that each other that way. Guess how that home's going to be? Their children are going to be blessed. They got a mom and dad that stay together. Their children are blessed after them. Is this real stuff? Is this where the rubber meets the road? You know what I'm saying? This is for us. Because there's a culture out there that's pushing Christians to do things they ought not to do. And getting you to compromise your convictions and getting you to do things against God that isn't supposed to happen. And you're going to find yourselves in situations where this is tough. And you know what you do? You do the right thing and you leave the consequences up to God. That's when you're trusting God. You do the right thing, and whatever the consequences are, whether good or bad for your life, you trust God through that. That's when you know you're trusting God. The just man, the one that knows Christ, walketh in his integrity. That walk, every day, I'm going to do what's right because it's right to do, even no one else does it. I've heard this said, one with God is the majority. Is that right? Is that right? That's right. If the whole world is doing the wrong thing and I'm the only one doing the right thing, I'm going to be the one that's saying there, you guys can go ahead, but I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Because if I'm standing where God wants me to stand, that's integrity. And I'm going to do that. Even if I'm all alone, I'm going to do that. And that's tough sometimes. But you do it as Christians. The just man walketh with his integrity. The overflow of that, his children are blessed after him. What you do is going to affect other people. Be aware. If you don't walk in your integrity and you're a moral failure, you're a dishonest person, you're going to affect a bigger circle than you can ever imagine. My wife and I were talking about this just the other day. Have you heard of Ravi Zacharias? Have you heard of what's happened in his life of late? Let me ask you a question. Was his children blessed or cursed? They were cursed. Because why? He did not walk in what? His integrity. He didn't do what was right when it was right to do when nobody else was looking. And he thought, nobody's going to find this out. You know, we as God's people, when God says something, we need to take it to heart. The just man walketh in his integrity. That's huge. You keep your integrity. I knew a man one time. he would not, no, never have been in a situation where he was alone with another woman. Mark DeMoss, he wrote his book. He had an office and a corporation, a lot of secretaries, people come. His office door would always be open. He'd never be alone with that door closed in his office, period. He would never ride in another car that wasn't his wife. He kept good boundaries. What's a boundary? Is a fence a boundary? A fence is a boundary. Is your skin a boundary? What does your skin do? It keeps the bad out and the good in, okay? It keeps the germs out and your blood in. You know what I'm saying? Your skin's a boundary. Boundaries are everywhere. If you're a boundaryless life, guess what? Satan's going to run right over you. But you keep your integrity. You keep your integrity. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Verse 8, a king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. A judge. There's earthly judges in this world. And they look at cases and they punish the evildoer and they deliver the righteous. Is there a judgment day coming for the world? The King of Kings is going to judge the world in what? Righteousness. Why do you want to not be the hypocrite that proclaims your own goodness? Why do you want to be a faithful man? Why do you want to be a just man that walketh in his integrity? You know why? Because there's a judgment day coming. And just like an earthly king, he's going to scatter. He's going to judge his kingdom. Our heavenly king is going to judge this world too in righteousness. That day is coming. And you know, between yesterday and today, we're day and day closer to that judgment day coming upon unbelievers. They can laugh, they can mock, they can ridicule the things of God, but that judgment day is coming ever so quick. And you don't want to be found on the wrong side of the judgment of God. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sins? Looking within. Now, how does a person get a clean heart? You know, a lot of psychology today, it just makes people comfortable with their sins. It makes them live with their sins. What does God want to do? He wants to deliver us from our sins and to cleanse us. How do we get a clean heart? What's 1 John 1:9 say? If we what? Confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You want a clean heart? You confess to God, God, you're right, I'm wrong, I've sinned, I've broken your commandments. Will you forgive me of my sins? And what God does, he takes all of our sins and puts them on the cross of Christ, who is sinless, without sin. All of his righteousness is given to us. We can be clean. Who can say, I've made my heart clean, I'm pure from my sins? What do you do with your sin? Do you just forget about it? But does God forget about it? Can you blame others for your sin? Not my fault. I'm not to blame. But God says, you're to blame. You're responsible. I'm a victim. No, you're not. You're not a victim. You're guilty. You did this. If a man robs a bank and they catch him and he says, I always paid my taxes, to the judge. Judge, that has nothing to do with your case here. You robbed a bank and we caught you. You're guilty. You're going to jail. But judge, I always paid my taxes. See, that's what people think. They come to God and they think, well, God, I did this good and this good and this good. And God says, no, you did. Yeah, you may have did that good, but that has nothing to do with this case here. You're guilty of this and this and this and this and this. If you only sin one time a day, how many days are there in a year? 365? If you just sin one time a day And then if you did that over a lifetime, how many sins is that? Innumerable. For all have what? Sin. And come short of what? Glory of God. You've missed the mark. You've totally missed it. That's like standing on the shores of the beaches in California and trying to throw a rock to hit Hawaii. I don't care how hard you throw it, you're going to miss the mark. You can't do it. You can't hit God's mark. For all of what? Sin. How do you get a clean heart? Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. Cleanse me. And he'll forgive you and cleanse you. Have you done that? As a believer, do we need to have a clean heart? Do our feet get dirty, so to speak, walking in this world? Do we need a spiritual foot washing, so to speak, to cleanse away the filth? Who could make their heart clean? Only God can. Well, let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for what we've looked at here this morning. And Father, you're a great God and a good God. And I thank you through Jesus Christ that, Lord, we can have the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. Father, I thank you that we don't have to proclaim our own goodness. There's none good but God. And Father, when people give us praise, Lord, may we deflect it to you. And God, may we be faithful in our commitments to one another and to you and to our own selves, Lord. Father, help us to live that life that's always looking within, God, and evaluating our motives and our actions in light of your word, the King that judges righteously, God. And it's not our own standards of righteousness, but it's your standard that we'll be judged by. So, Lord, help us toward that end. And, Father, I thank you for the power of the gospel to save men and women, boys and girls. And in the quietness moment, if I have a question for you, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Do you have that assurance that you've believed on Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins, and your heart is clean? And you know without a shadow of a doubt, if you were to die this day, you'd stand in the presence of God. If you have that witness in your testimony, just in the quietness of this moment, just raise your hand here this morning. If you know that, just raise your hand, just as a witness to God. You can put your hands down. Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of each one that raised their hands, or maybe there's some here that couldn't raise their hand, God. They've never settled that within their hearts and lives. And Father, we know that eternity is forever. And Lord, this side of eternity, you've given us this opportunity to be saved from our sins. So Lord, help us toward that end to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I just thank you for the power of the gospel. And Lord, I pray that you would bless us as your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.